This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله بعثه الله رحمة للعالمين بشيرا ونذيرا فصلى الله وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعه بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد dear respected brothers and sisters السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته and welcome back to our درس although I really apologize that I could not confirm that the dars will be taking place except maybe it was a very short notice for all of you that's why maybe we see that not many people are coming but anyway inshallah we will resume the dars inshallah and subhanallah when I was coming to the dars I was not planning to speak about what happened in Turkey Yeah, today is the 14th of the month of Shawwal, 1437. And as you know, it is 19th of July, 2016. I was not planning to speak about what happened in Turkey, but just before I came here, I thought about it. I said, oh, I have to say something. And then when I came here, mashallah, the brothers, one after another, is telling me that, are you going to speak about Turkey? Which is a very good sign. First of all, it is a good sign that it means that we are concerned about what is happening to our Muslim Ummah. Yeah, this is one thing. And the other thing, to speak about Turkey in particular, why we need to be concerned about what is happening in Turkey, apart from just being that Turkey is part of our Ummah. Because I think that Turkey now is setting one of the best examples for a change in a secular society. I think, to be honest with you, it is the best example for making a change in a non-Islamic a secular society. It is the best example. There is no example that has been proven successful as the example of Turkey. And as a result of this, I believe that all of us should be proud of what is happening in Turkey. All of us should be proud of what is happening or what is taking place by the Turkish government, by the AK party, and by President Erdogan. May Allah Jalla wa Ala protect him. All of us should be really proud of this. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Al-Muslim wa akhul Muslim. لا يظلمه ولا يحقره ولا يخذله. The Muslim is the brother of the Muslim, does not oppress him, does not let him down, does not forsake him, does not forsake him. So it is an obligation for us to help all of our brothers and sisters wherever they are, and in particular to help them in Muslim countries and to help them in Turkey. I was really surprised that some people or many people who speak about the atrocities of the of our ummah, what is happening to our brothers and sisters in Syria, what is happening to our brothers and sisters in Burma, in Central Africa, in Central Republic Africa, in Burma and other places. And they are not much concerned about what was happening to our brothers and sisters in Turkey. Is it because it is so-called political issue? And we only cry when we see blood in the streets. If the coup was successful in Turkey, then we will see blood in the street. No, our vision, my dear brothers and sisters, should be wider than that, should be bigger than that. We should be concerned for the political issues that is happening to our in Muslim countries more than shedding the blood. Shedding the blood is just an emotional reaction, but the strategic reaction is what is happening politically in Muslim countries in particular and everywhere in the world. My dear brothers and sisters, first of all, I really hate this notion that which many Muslim speakers and shuyukh and scholars are proud of, which is, well, I don't know anything about politics, I don't speak about politics, I'm not involved in politics, I don't like politics, yeah? But ask me about tahara, salah, financial transactions, etc. I will give you a fatwa, I know about it, but politics, no, keep me away from politics, subhanAllah. And people are proud of it. Ya'ani, they are, or in another word, they are proud of secularism, of being secular. Yes? I don't want to be concerned about the ruling system. Yes? But I am concerned about the personal ibadah, which is secularism, because secularism says, yes, worship Allah, it is between you and your Lord. But if you want to talk about sovereignty, it doesn't belong to Allah. It is not divine. دَعْ مَا لِقَيْسَرْ لِقَيْسَرْ وَدَعْ مَا لِلَّهِ لِلَّهِ. Leave what is for Caesar for him, and leave what is for God for him. Which is complete separation between the governing system and the ibadah. No. The ibadah is everything. قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ قُلِ اللَّهَ أَعْبُدُ مُخْلِصًا لَهُ دِينِي. Very general, very comprehensive. Any kind of anything that any activity in this life should be governed by the law of Allah Jalla wa Ala, which means that it is ibadah. However, as we always say, there is a listed ibadah and there is the non-listed ibadah. The listed ibadah is, maybe you call it the personal ibadah, but the non-listed ibadah or the non-listed ibadah includes all of our activities, includes how we go to bed, how we do business with each other, how do celebrate our events, how we work, how we run our systems. It includes politics. And in Surah Al-Ma'idah, the surah that talks a lot about Al-Hukum. Yes? Al-Hukum. Allah Jalla wa Ala says, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. Those who rule by any other law other than the law of Allah Jalla wa Ala, they are the kafirun, they are the zalimun, they are the fasiqun. Yes? In three different ayat. Then Allah Jalla wa Ala says, وَأَنْزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَمُهَيْمِنًا عَلَيْهِ فَاحْكُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ بِمَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهِ. We can quote so many ayat that talk about what? The hukum. How to rule. It talks about sovereignty. Sovereignty belongs to Allah Jalla wa Ala. There is no separation between both. So, from this perspective, and from the perspective of the hadith that is reported in At-Tabarani, whether it is authentic or not, the one who does not concern for Muslims, he's not one of them, we need to be concerned about what happens politically. Yes, everywhere in the world, and in particular in Muslim countries, and in particular in key Muslim countries, such as Turkey. So, we should be really be worried. One of the most stressful nights that I lived, okay, apart from the night when they ousted Morsi, President Morsi, may Allah Jalla ala free him and may Allah Jalla ala help him, is the 9th of 16th of July, last Friday. The incident happened Friday night, which is Saturday morning. Saturday was 16 or 15. Saturday was 16. Friday was 15. So it is, they say 15 night, but it is actually in the Islamic notion, it is the night of Saturday. Okay? And طبعًا in the Hijri calendar, it was 11th of Shawwal. Yeah? So it was one of the most stressful nights. And I was so emotional at that time, and maybe you have seen my message or you have heard of my message that we need to make dua that Allah Jalla Ala helps the legitimate government in Turkey. First of all, my dear brothers and sisters, apart from this this introduction, let us understand something that is really very important, and that thing related to democracy, because some brothers criticized us by using the word legitimate government or legitimate elected government. And they say, well, this means that the democratic government is a legitimate government. I said, yes, yes, okay. Let us not get into the discussion about the about democracy. Yes, let us not discuss democracy. But when there is a when there is a country means, as they say in law, people and state, yes, and governments. People and land, space, and system or government. This is a state. This is the definition of state in the law. But even a part of that, when there are a group of people here, we in this place, all of us agreed, yes, that, for example, Sohail is our leader. Yeah? How do we agree, all of us? We said, brothers, as I always say, imagine that all of us came to an island that is not inhabited by people, and we are the inhabitants of that island. The first thing we need to do is what? The first thing is we need to have a leadership for ourselves in order to see what we want to do. Otherwise, people will do this, other people will do that. Maybe a minister will attack us. We don't know what to do. So we need to have a leadership. Yeah? And this is the importance of leadership. The Prophet ﷺ said, if there are three people traveling and they do not have a leader, then the shaitan will be with them. Yeah? And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Man ata' al-amir." So the Prophet ﷺ was talking about the principle of amirship, leadership. Yeah? So, in that island, let us say, yeah, we are the inhabitants of that island. We agreed that Suhail will be our leader. This agreement is a legitimate shar'i contract. Yeah? It is a contract between the people and that person. They appointed him to act on their behalf. Yeah? So, this, if you want to call it democratic process, it was a democratic process, or you don't want it to call it a democratic process, whatever you want to call it, it is what? It is a legitimate agreement, a contract, a binding Islamic contract between the people and whoever they selected as what? As their leader. Yes? Please do understand this. And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Al-mu'minun ala shurutihim," or "Al-muslimun ala shurutihim." Muslims are bound by the conditions they took upon themselves. Yeah? So, the condition is, Mr. Suhail, you are our leader, so you are our representative, you act on our behalf. And what from our side, Mr. Suhail, we will listen to you, we will obey you. Okay? And also, Mr. Suhail, you will act on our behalf for our own interest, not for your own interest. So, the Shar'i classification for the democratically elected leader is this. Yeah? Let me say that again, please. Yeah? The Shar'i classification for a democratically elected leader is this. That a group of people appointed someone to act on their behalf. This is a legitimate Shar'i contract. And in fact, my dear brothers and sisters, this is the form of hukum in Islam, of a ruler in Islam. And this is how Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was elected. Yes, that's why the scholars differ, whether he was appointed by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or he was appointed by the believers. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself said, "Ya'ba Allahu wa rasuluhu wal mu'minun illa Abu Bakr." Allah wants Abu Bakr, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wants Abu Bakr, and what? The believers want Abu Bakr. Which means that the believers appointed Abu Bakr. Umar was appointed like this. Uthman was appointed like this. Ali was appointed like this. That's why called Khilafa Rashida means the people elected what? Elected a leader. Erdogan, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, was elected like this, so he is a Shar'i leader for the people of Turkey. Okay? Yes? So the contract between Recep Tayyip Erdogan and the Turkish people is binding upon the Turkish people. He did not take power by a military coup or forced himself or inherited the position. No, no. It was, we use the word democratically elected, but he was chosen in a Shar'i way. The people were given their right to select him, and they selected him. In fact, he is the first leader, I don't know whether in the Muslim world, in the Arab world, or in the world, that he was selected directly by the people. As you know, his party won, and then the presidency position, he stood by himself, okay, and he was selected by the people. Anyway, whether through the party or through himself, he is a legitimate leader for Turkey. Yeah? Okay? Now, brothers, we have to understand something. Once we say that he is a legitimate leader, or the legitimate leader for Turkey, he has to work according to the contract between him and them. What does that mean? I hope that people understand this point, and I hope that this video is clarifies certain things. He was elected, okay, appointed by them to rule them, not by Islam. In fact, if he ruled them by Islam, maybe, yes, and I know some people will misconstrue my word, misunderstand, misrepresent my word, maybe he will break the agreement between him and them. Yes? Because they told him, Mr. Recep Tayyip Erdogan, this is the constitution. Are you willing to lead us according to this constitution or not? And he said, yes. They said, go ahead. If he said, I will change that and I am going to rule you according to what? To what I believe. Yes? He believes in Islam, obviously. Then he did what? He broke the contract between him and them. So no one, when they say that he did not implement Sharia, come on, this is crazy. Why it is crazy? Because the agreement between him and the people is not to rule by Sharia. It is to rule according to what? To the constitution. Yeah? If the constitution allows him, yeah, in a particular way to change to Sharia, yes. But all of a sudden, to say, no, I want to rule you according to the Sharia, they will tell him that, listen, this is not our agreement. He will break the agreement. Yeah? It is like, let us not get into that, otherwise, yeah, we have a limited time. But I hope that this point is understood, because some people have some superficial understanding, or a simplistic understanding, rather, and they say, no, he must rule by Sharia. He did not say that we will stop banking system, we will stop alcohol, we will stop this and that and this and that. He can't. Not he can't, yani physically, he can't, because the agreement between him and them is what? Is to rule according to a certain way. Like, for example, if we are in a company and we appointed someone to run that company according to what? To the company system. And if that person, he says, no, I want to run you, to run the system, to run you according to Sharia, I will say, no. Okay, that is not what we agreed on. Or they will say, no, that is not what we agreed on. I hope that this point is clear. It's very, very important. So, he, as I said, he is the legitimate leader for Turkey, because he was selected by them to rule them. Democratically selected, whatever, but he was selected to rule them. Hence, what does that mean? It means a lot. It means that apart from listening to him, obeying him, etc., etc., making dua to him that Allah Jalla wa'ala helps him, etc., by especially by the people of Turkey, the key thing is any attempt from anyone that does not represent the entire Turkish population to revolt against him or to remove him is what? This is what is known in Sharia as khuruj. Yes? Why it is khuruj? Why it is khuruj? What does khuruj mean? Sometimes we say khuruj, khuruj, khuruj. We do not understand it. Okay? Imagine we are in this place or in this island. You agree. Let us make it simple. You agreed, all of you, to appoint me as a leader. Yeah? If 3-4 people, yeah, among all of you, they want to remove me. What does that mean? It means that they are making khuruj against you before me. Did you understand? Why is this? Because they say, forget about all of you, and we want to impose our what? Viewpoint. Yeah? So they are... what is the word khuruj in English? Repelling or? Revolting. Revolting, yes, revolting. They are revolting again, not against me, but against who? Against who? Against the people, because the people had, there is a contract between the people and that person who was appointed as a leader. So if a few of the people said, no, we want to remove that leader, but the people... What will happen to the people? The people are those who appointed me. So you are making what? Khuruj against the people. That's why Sharia said that this is an illegitimate thing. And the Salaf said this khuruj is something that is prohibited. Yeah? I don't want to use the hadith when the Prophet ﷺ says, مَنْ أَتَاكُمْ وَأَمْرُكُمْ جَمِيعٌ عَلَى رَجُلٍ وَاحِدٍ فَضْرُبُ عُنُقَهُ كَائِنًا مَنْ كَانَ. If a person comes... Yes, while you are united under the leadership of one person, then, yes, strike his neck. Yeah, whatever, whoever he is. This hadith, whether it is applied when the entire Muslim ummah is under one person or a certain people willingly, yes, again, willingly agree to appoint one person as their leader, yeah, whether the hadith is applied or not, let us not get into that. But the key thing is that these few people who want to break the agreement, they are making a shar'i, I mean, by definition, shar'i, khuruj, or revolting against what? Against the people themselves, against the agreement between the people and what? The leader they appointed. That's why the coup, or the attempted coup, in Turkey was a khuruj, yes, against a legitimate leader. And that's why it was obligatory upon Muslims in Turkey to stop that, yes, to stop that and to re-establish their legitimate leader, which is Recep Tayyip Erdogan. And it was haram for any of them to support those people who started this attempted coup. Yeah? And not only that, every single Muslim should not, in Turkey, I mean, yeah, they should not sit as neutral at that time. No, because he sees that there are people can be called, okay, let me avoid that yani label, okay, but these people are making khuruj against their legitimate leader, and they should be stopped, they should be fought against. Yeah, let alone that we know from the past that the militant coups cause a lot of bloodshed and killing and chaos in any country, and they also cause that country to go into a tunnel, yes, of dictatorship, and anyway, apart from dictatorship, these militant people who govern these countries, they are leading them by militant mindset, and they are not leading them to development and from all perspective, whether social, economical, and so on. Yeah. So apart from this, Muslims in Turkey should have, as they did, mashallah, tabarakallah, they fought against those who attempted that coup. Yeah. And which they have done. So this is the Shari'i classification of the presidency of Recep Tayyip Erdogan. It should be understood. I explained it because, unfortunately, not many people understand it like this. The other point is, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, I believe that, to be honest with you, and it is the first time I declare it, maybe Sheikh Abu Isa mentioned it a few days ago because he put it in his Facebook book, okay, his Facebook page. I will mention it. I believe that Recep Tayyip Erdogan, may Allah preserve him, is one of the mujaddideen of this ummah. Yeah? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah jalla wa ala sends every single 100 years or if every century a person, or the hadith can be understood as well, man yujaddidu laha amra diniha, a group of people who will revive the situation of the ummah. Now, if we see that the first mujaddid of this ummah that agreed upon was who? Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz died 101 Hijri. The tajdid of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahimahullah, the revival of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, was about what? Political slash, yes, you can say justice or fairness or judicial, not judicial, judicial, but justice, from a justice perspective, political slash justice. Why? Because at that time, the Umayyad Empire or the Umayyad Caliphate expanded so, it became so huge. It is, according to some historians, it is the biggest known state in the history. The biggest known state in the history. Yeah? Because the Umayyad Caliphs, they were so eager to expand, there was a level of injustice taking place. Yeah? Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, when he came, because he was so intelligent, Allah Jalla ala guided him and helped him, he stopped the expansion of the Islamic State. And what did he do? What did he do? He started to what? Fix the affairs of the ummah, and in particular, corruption and justice. So that was his tajdeed. The ummah at that time doesn't need revival in ilm, because ilm was there. There were many tabi'een and scholars, etc. But they need what? Political justice or political reform, political slash social justice reform. You can name it. Yeah? But it is not about, مثلاً, reviving the sunnah and the bid'ah. Yeah? Reviving the sunnah against the bid'ah, I mean, or so. So this is Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. Then, in the second Hijra century, or the second agreed upon mujaddid was who? Was Imam Shafi'i, died 204. Yeah? What was the tajdeed of Imam Shafi'i? It was not a political tajdeed, because at that time it was the middle of the Abbasi Caliphate. The Umayyad Caliphate ended 132, as you know. Then the Abbasi Caliphate came, and the Abu Ja'far al-Mansur, Harun al-Rashid. So there was a level of justice during the Shafi'i, the Imam Shafi'i period. The Shafi'i, Imam Shafi'i tajdeed was what? Was a ilmi tajdeed. Okay? Ilm-based tajdeed. Why? Because at that time, the ilm was crystallizing. So there were a school of thought that belongs to the muhaddithin, the people of hadith. And there was another school of thought that is being crystallized, which is what? The fiqh. Okay? Led by Imam Abu Hanifa and his students. Imam Shafi'i, as Al-Dhahabi and others said he came and he combined between both, and he came with a new theory that hadith and fiqh, they all work hand in hand, and he crystallized, or he wrote the first well-known book in Usul al-Fiqh, which is what? Al-Risala. Al-Risala is a book of Usul al-Fiqh. Usul al-Fiqh means what? How to understand hadith to what? Okay, to produce fiqh. How to understand hadith to produce fiqh. The Ummah was expanding. Many people were coming to Islam. The Ummah was in need of Usul al-Fiqh at that time. And that, although the Sahaba, the Tabi'in, were practicing Usul al-Fiqh, but they were not aware of it as a crystallized, يعني documented ilm, discipline. So Imam al-Shafi'i did that, and he was what? A mujaddid. Okay? The other mujaddidin after that, some scholars say, no, this mujaddid, al-Tabarani, etc., etc., there were other mujaddidin. Let us not get into that. Now, what is happening to our ummah? Our ummah, for after the fall of the Ottoman Empire or the Ottoman Khilafah 1924, the ummah have not seen a strong Muslim leader who can make a real change in the society, or who can present a model of political slash social slash Islamic a change in this world that is becoming very, very secular. Yeah? The Ummah have not seen a person like this. Yeah? And to the level that many Muslims have lost hope that there can be a Muslim leader who can manage to fix number of things, yeah? Social devastation, political devastation, and as well secular, in a secular society. Yeah? They haven't seen a Muslim leader who can come, who may come to a country that is first of all economically down, completely destroyed, and then he revives their economical situation, yeah, and he brings stability to a certain level to the country. And not only that, he can change the society from being anti-Islamic to become an Islamic society. All attempts failed, yeah, all attempts failed. Okay, and the last attempt was the attempt of Mursi, yeah, and it failed. Even before Erdogan, yeah, his spiritual leader, Najmuddin Erbakan, may Allah Jalla wa'ala have rahmah on him, he also failed, yeah, and he was thrown by another military coup, yes, so to the level that we lost hope as Muslims. We lost hope. Yeah? And when Recep Tayyip Erdogan came, he presented a model. And that model can be followed now by many Muslim leaders. So that's why he is reviving something that is completely unique. Yeah? And that something is not something small. That thing is what is needed now for the Ummah. The Ummah now, yes, needs a political leader who can present a model where he can rule a country, develop a country, bring a positive social, economical change to that country. We haven't seen that except through this leader. May Allah Jalla Ala preserve him, Recep Tayyip Erdogan. We haven't seen that. And now he is setting a model, and I think, inshallah, many countries will follow that model. Okay. As you know, the Turkish economical system before the AK party and before Erdogan was so devastated. And I remember that they used to make jokes that if you want, in this was in 1980s, all the way until 19, I think, when they changed, just before the 1990s. Where if you want to buy bread or loaf of bread, you have to fill your pocket with money. And maybe the weight of the paper money that you need to buy what? A piece of bread or maybe a sandwich or a loaf of bread is heavier than the bread itself. Because the Turkish lira lost its price. Yeah? And not only that, if maybe you are young here, but the people who are all visited Turkey before that, they would have seen that the country, the corruption is there. Yeah? All types of problems were there. And I visited Turkey a few months ago, and I saw a Saudi brother who visited Turkey 20 years ago, and he said, I've been coming to this country for a long time ago. He said in 19, I think, I forgot exactly, when he came to Istanbul, before Erdogan became the mayor of Istanbul. And he said, wallahi, in many areas, you cannot live there because of what? Because of the smell of the sewage system in Istanbul. And that was known. Then Erdogan came, he was appointed as, and by the way, the prostitutes were walking in the streets in Istanbul. And this is well known. And not only that, as you know, hijab was banned. Hijab was banned. Not only that, hijab was banned. If they see a lady with hijab, they think that she is just an old lady from the backward people. That was the situation. And yes, I remember that in 1995, I was working for a company, a colleague of mine, his name was, anyway, no need to mention his name. He was a Turkish person. I said to him one time, I don't want to mention his name, I said, so-and-so, why don't you pray? It was known for us who were living in Saudi Arabia, mixing with the Turkish community, that they were so secular. So I said to him, so-and-so, why don't you pray? He said, I am a Muslim. I said, Tayyib, Muslim should pray. He said, yes, inshallah, inshallah. And he was making. He said, I know the kalima. I said, which kalima? He said, I said, uh-huh. I didn't realize that he didn't know the kalima. I said, so what was the kalima? He said, and then he managed to say, la ilaha illallah. And then I said, And what's the other part? He didn't know the other part. I remembered also, I remembered now, that one of my teachers in KFUPM, he was a Turkish person. And that Turkish person, I saw him once drinking with the left hand. And young people, they are always eager to implement the sunnah, which should be. And by the way, I see many brothers drinking with their left hand. It annoys me. I don't know why this habit has not been clarified to people. Recently, I attended an Islamic conference, wallahi. I saw three from the dua in the conference on the table. First of all, I saw the first one drinking with the left hand. I said, maybe he forgot or something. Then the second one, and then the third one, by the left hand. Anyway, طيب. So I said to my teacher, who was drinking with the left hand, I said to him, he was teaching me, a bit close to me. I said to him, we should drink with the right hand, not with the left. He said, why? God created this hand for me. God created this hand for me. Both are created for me. So I should use any of them. I said, but God is the one who said, drink with the right hand. He said, no. Okay? We know, maybe you have seen them, they were very, very secular. And some brothers visited Turkey, and they said they were walking with their wives with hijab, etc., in some cities, Yeah, that was maybe 10 years ago. And people were looking at them as they, if they were coming from what? A different yani, planet. A different planet. And the people, those I visited Turkey the first time in 2000. I forgot now. But in many masajid, yeah, you go to the masajid, who is praying there? The old people only. Yeah, the old people only. Yes, one of the funny stories that happened with me, okay, when I visited Turkey in 2000, one of the times, 2000, maybe 7, 8, yeah, with the family. I was going to Saudi Arabia. I stopped in Turkey for a few days. So I took the family for a tour, and we went to Hagia Sophia. Yeah, Hagia Sophia, we don't want to get into the history of Hagia Sophia was a masjid. Some people, they claim that it was not a mosque, and then it was taken by the Christians and made in. Anyway, it ended up as a museum. Yeah, you can go there and you see some Islamic signs and you see as well Christian signs. You enter there, you have to buy a ticket, etc., to go out, and then to come back again. It takes time. So the Asr Salah time came. So myself and my children wanted to pray Asr. We started to pray. Then immediately the policemen came and they stopped us. So I said to them, no, I want to pray. They said, no. Broken English, yes, no. Some people came, some young people came to translate. They said, no, by law, it is you can't pray. I said, in London, which is not a Muslim country, I pray whenever I want. Here, a Muslim country, and I can't pray? No, I want to pray. Yeah, they said, no, not here, pray elsewhere. This is the law. I said, where? Show it to me. That. No, they said, no religion here, no religion. I said, the religion belongs to Allah, it is everywhere, it is the land of Allah. I want to pray, I'm not causing any harm for anyone. Anyway, we had an argument, the police came, and many police came, and the commander came, and he said, no, you can't pray here. But, so I had to leave. So anyway, all of us know that there were many of them, in order to be honest, were what? Anti-Islamic. Let alone on a political level, they were among the first people to have links with what? With the Israeli governments, despite what was happening to Muslims in Palestine. So now, Erdogan came first and he became the mayor of Istanbul. He cleaned it, okay? Physically cleaned it. He fixed the sewage system. He improved the situation there. He also, in order to find a solution for the prostitutions, he found jobs for ladies. And he said that those people, if we give them alternative, then they will stop prostitution. Prostitution diminished, yeah, in Istanbul, which is something very, very good. Then he became the prime minister, as you know, and the economical situation boomed. Yeah, improved, yes, exponentially. And to the level that, as you know, it became one of the biggest 20 economies in the world. It is one of the G20, as you know, Turkey. Okay, so he developed the people from an economical perspective. From an Islamic perspective, yes, no one except a blind person or a person who hates Islam and Muslims who can, yes, reject the fact that he improved the Islam in Turkey almost grammatically or almost dramatically as the economy was expanding as well. Yeah? From people who do not want to wear hijab to people, if you go there, you will see many people wearing hijab. He has to send his daughter to America to study because she could not wear a headscarf in what? In Turkish universities. And now if you go to Turkey, you see hijab worn by young people everywhere. everywhere by the grace of Allah Jalla Ala. Not only that, he opened the schools, yeah, called, I forgot the Turkish name, but for young imams. They learn Quran, yes, and they learn Islamic studies. Yeah, he built so many masajids. The people themselves started to be open-minded. Before, they were very, very close-minded. They have certain practices from tasawwuf and from they follow the Hanafi madhab. They take it as a cultural thing, and now people start to understand that it is a religious issue, and they started to, it is from the religion, sorry, they started to understand that there is another other school of thought, Shafi'i school of thought, Hanbali school of thought, etc. People started to be open. Before, they were Shu'ubiyin, those who hate Arabs. And now they have opened a little bit. Sorry, time is short. We cannot continue explaining what he has done. He has changed the country upside down. Full stop. And no one can deny that fact. Yeah? He has changed the country upside down. Economical perspective, and most importantly, religious perspective. Then, okay, the Syrian crisis started to happen in 2012, and the Syrian refugees started to leave to Turkey. Yes? Subhanallah, what did he do? He helped them. No country has ever helped refugees in the world as Turkey has helped the Syrian refugees. Full stop. Yeah? And that's why, and not only that, not they are not helping them. I was there in two, three months ago, and I visited Turkey also before. I have some Syrian friends who live there. They don't feel that they are discriminated against. Although some people still, because they are foreigners, the Syrians are foreigners, they still maybe behave a little bit badly with them, but the overwhelming majority, they are welcoming them, they are opening their houses for them, they are giving them discounts, they are giving them so many facilities, and they are respected. The most important thing, that they are respected. In Turkey, they say there are between 3 to 5 million Syrians living there. And subhanallah, what did Recep Tayyip Erdogan, may Allah preserve him, said? He said, "Hum al-muhajirun wa nahnu al-ansar." Yeah. He never said, "Oh, these Syrian people are coming to us," and he was boasting over what they have done. They said, "We spend $4 million, I think he said, $4 billion. Allah gave us $14 billion as a return." Yeah, the economy improved. Okay? As I said, we have a limited time. He did a lot. May Allah Jalla Ala preserve him. And let alone, my dear brothers and sisters, that he was the first leader to visit Somalia, Muslim leader. He was the first, not him, sorry. The Turkish consulate in Sudan, was the first Muslim counselor or ambassador to visit Muslims in Central Africa Republic. And I think Dawood Oglu, when he was the prime minister, he visited them as well. No Muslim authority of that position has visited them. He sent his delegates to visit Burma, and I think his wife, I don't remember exactly, visited Burma. In Turkey, if you go, brothers, you will see organizations that support Muslims everywhere. We know that the organizations that support Syria, but there are organizations that support Burma. I met some of them that they are supporting Burma. Let alone the organizations that support the Muslims in Eastern Europe. Yeah? Let alone the organizations and how they opened their doors for Muslims from Tajikistan, Kazakhstan, and these countries, the ex-Russian countries. Yes, they are doing a lot for the Muslim Ummah. I don't know whether there is a Muslim country, I have to be precise, okay, but I don't know of any Muslim country that opened its doors for Muslims all over the world to support them. Yeah. This is because of the tawfiq of Allah Jalla Ala, and secondly, because of the support of the AK party, the Erdogan party, and because of him as a leader. After all of this, you don't want us to support him, to make dua for him? No. Wallahi, after all of this, starting from the fact that he is the legitimate leader for them, okay, plus he has done for his people what no ever leader has done for the people, he has done for the Muslim Ummah what no one has ever done for the Muslim Ummah in the after the fall of the Islamic Empire or the Islamic Khilafah, has ever done. Yes? So after all of this, you don't want us to support him. And he is on the top of one of the strongest, or maybe the strongest Sunni country in the world. And that's why, unfortunately, many Western governments, let us put it like this, many Western governments, they really hate him. And they are looking for the day to destroy him, to destroy Turkey. Because they see that he is what? Reviving Islam in Turkey, reviving the Ottoman Empire that has one time ruled most of Europe, as you know. Yeah? He is part of Europe as well. And they have seen that the economy is booming, Islam is booming, and this man, he has junoon al-azama. I don't know how you translate it. Okay, he is fond of being a sultan, yes? Yani in the Independent and in the Guardian, they called him the Ottoman Sultan, came back again, yeah? Power what? Power hungry. No. He wants to be not just power hungry, a sultan. Yeah? A sultan, like the Ottoman sultans. Yeah? They really hate him. And if you read the newspapers now, طيب, the German brothers told us, I read in our newspapers here in England, now see the hypocrisy. Because he said that if the parliament approved the capital punishment for treason, for the attempted coup people, he said, I will just listen to that. Yeah? Because the parliament and the people, approved it. Everywhere. Immediately, Angela Merkel, said, if he approved it, he is out of the EU. Yeah? But in the meantime, our Prime Minister, Theresa May, when she was asked about nuclear weapons, you have seen that. They told her, one of the MPs told her, so you don't mind in killing thousands of people, I think he mentioned men, women, children, yes? You don't mind using nuclear weapons to kill thousands of people. Immediately she said, what? Yes. If that is going to what? Deter them from and protect the national security, something like this. No one commented that, yes, you need to be out. Yeah? This is what? Killing people by nuclear weapons, is it? So this is worse than what? This is worse than killing people after a rule of law. Yes? That is killing thousands of them or hundreds of them. And she proudly said, Yes, I don't mind doing that if that is going to protect my national security. And no one has a problem with that. No one has a problem at all. Yeah? But when a Muslim leader says, well, if the people, again, this is hypocrisy, even according to the democratic standards. Yeah? If this is what the people want, I will go for it. Yeah? Which is, if democracy is the outcome of democracy, is this. Yeah? Then I will go for it. So, what do you want? You want to be a dictator, according to their definitions, and say, people want this, and I will not do it. Yeah? Which means that democracy, yes, the Western non-Islamic democracy works if it is in favor of the elite and the establishments in Western governments. But if it is in favor of Muslim leaders or Muslims in general, then democracy is an evil thing. We don't want it. This is, let alone the, and yeah, it is clear, double standards, hypocrisy, okay, taking place. And the media, if you read the media, now they are what? Attacking him heavily. Why? Because he said, yeah, just they are using this statement that the coup, the attempted coup, if the parliament agreed the capital punishment, then we have to go for it. They are using this and many other things in order to what? In order to attack him heavily. After all of this, my dear brothers and sisters, you don't want us to make dua for him? Yeah? No. Wallahi, it is, as I said, it is an obligation upon all of us to make dua for him, to support him. Yes? And that Allah Jalla wa Ala supports him, that Allah Jalla wa Ala helps him. Allah Jalla wa Ala helps the party, AK party. And Allah Jalla wa Ala helps the Turkish people to continue in this journey. And we have to be really proud of them, because they have shown that they are intelligent people, aware. They did not let what they have gained through these 12 years or these number of years in which he was the in charge of the country to be wasted just because of people who have maybe different agendas or external agendas. We have to be grateful for what they have done, and we have to appreciate, or we have to appraise what they have done, and we have to make dua that Allah Jalla wa Ala also helps them. Allah Jalla wa Ala unites their hearts, and Allah Jalla wa Ala bring them back to the religion more and more. And subhanallah, maybe all of you have seen the clips, yeah, that were shared at that time. What was their national anthem? Yeah? During the yani attempted coup? What was the national anthem? No. They have Ya Allah! Bismillah! Allahu Akbar! Yes? Ya Allah! Bismillah! Allahu Akbar! If you have seen that. Yeah? Ya Allah, in their Turkish, Ya Allah, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. That was their national anthem. And many people have said that after the Fajr of that day, the Fajr of Saturday, you see so many people praying, yeah, by not just dancing, by being happy that their government has been reestablished, to show that they are, in reality, they are... whether they were outwardly practicing the deen or not, they love the deen. And it shows also, my dear brothers and sisters, that at the end, Muslims are Muslims. They love the deen. They are willing to sacrifice their deen. And they will go back to their deen easily. And it also shows that if there is a leader whom people... yes, see that he is an honest, genuine person, they will support him. They don't mind sacrificing their life for him. And this is what happened in Turkey. What is the future? I think the future is bright, very bright. And may Allah Jalla wa Ala, as we said, yani, give them more and more. And I mentioned it, that's why I did not mention. I like the statement of Sheikh Qaradawi, although that statement, to be honest with you, I have said it before, but I did not read it. I attribute it to Sheikh Qaradawi, because if I said it after him saying him, he is yani a great scholar, people will say that you have just copied that from him. But previously, when I saw some Syrian people in Turkey, and they were talking about yani that some people are trying to destroy him, I said, I don't think so, that he will be destroyed by those people, because Allah is just. Allah says, Wallahu fi, the Prophet ﷺ says, Wallahu fi awni al-abd, ma dam al-abd fi awni akhi. Allah is in help and support of the slave as far as what? The slave is in help and support for what? For his brothers and sisters. Yeah? And the, what Sheikh Qaradawi said, that Wallahi la yukhzika Allahu abadan ya Erdogan, innaka la tasilu al-rahima wa la tahmilu al-kalla wa la tuqri al-dayfa wa la tu'inu ala nawa'ib al-dahar. This is the statement that Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it is a law, it is a divine law. Allah will never disgrace you because you help the poor people, you help the weak people, you give the poor people, you honor the guest, and you build the ties of the kinship. And Erdogan, what he did to the Syrians, yes, Allah is seeing it. Allah will not let him down. Allah will not let him down, because he did not let the slaves of Allah Jalla wa Ala down. We ask Allah Jalla wa Ala to give him victory against his enemies. We Allah Jalla wa Ala to make him a model for many other Muslim leaders. We ask Allah Jalla wa Ala to give the Turkish people more and more of his tawfiq. We ask Allah Jalla wa Ala to forgive us for our shortcomings, that we could not help them and support them as much as we can. And we ask the Western anti-Muslim people to be just, when dealing with Erdogan, when dealing with any other Islamic figure, to be just, because justice maintains their presence. Justice maintains their presence. If there is no justice, then their presence will eventually vanish. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Question?
No.
Sorry. Yes. Question.
What is your view on potential people behind the coup and this so-called Muslim cleric Fatallah Gulen?
Yeah, well, I think it's finished now, to be honest with you. Yeah? But it doesn't mean that if those people finished, that there will be no other people who will try to do something in Turkey. To be honest with you, another coup might not happen, unlikely to happen. But now they will try to kill Erdogan. This will be the last maybe resort, to kill him personally. Yeah? And to be honest with you, at this moment, they have established their party and many leaders in their party. Even if he was killed, yeah, the party will continue and Turkey will continue, especially after this attempt. People have shown that they are mature enough to deal with these situations. So even if he dies now, subhanAllah, if he dies before the coup, this attempted coup, maybe we can be doubtful. But if he dies now after this attempted coup, he will die. If he was killed, he will die as a shaheed, so he will win the dunya and the akhirah. Yeah? And I think Turkey will continue, inshallah, as it is. Barakallahu fikum. Jazakumullahu khair.